is it time to think how we prosecute speeders? One of Britain's leading traffic police chiefs says drivers should be punished for going just 1 mile an hour over the speed limit. Chief Constable Anthony Bangham, the lead officer in road policing for the National Police Chiefs Council, is calling for an end to giving motorists a 10% leeway on speed limits. We spoke about this last year regarding the rules here being 10% of the speed limit plus 2 miles per hour. At the time, we spoke to PSNI Inspector Rosie Leach.
I very, very rarely see a fixed penalty being issued below the threshold. Very, very rarely. We issue instructions to officers. Officers know what the threshold
is. What instructions do you issue to officers?
We tell the officers the enforcement threshold that we apply.
Which is 10% plus 2 miles per hour?
We do not enforce below 10% plus 2 miles an hour.
You don't enforce, but you've just said it again. You don't enforce below 10% plus 2 miles per hour. But actually,
well,
you're saying you do.
That is the broad guidance, Stephen.
Now, Rosie Leach, that you might remember those shows, that broad guidance, and it went doolally on the programme over that back then. There is a statement from Rosie, a fresh statement issued to us, and essentially what she's saying, right to do so, reminding us that excessive speed costs lives. People are killed or seriously injured on our roads across Northern Ireland. She then says in the statement, while the PSNI does not discuss speed enforcement thresholds, well, yeah, they do, because we've just pled it. She says, it's worth highlighting that these comments represent an aspiration rather than a ratified decision from the National Police Chiefs Council. 03030 805555 is the number to call this morning. Fionnuala Meredith, the commentator. And former speeder, Fionnuala, is that right? Good morning.
Yeah, afraid so. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. And former Assistant Chief Constable Alan McQuillan with us today. Morning to you, Alan.
Good morning.
Do you think this is right that there's now zero, or the proposal would be, Fionnuala, for zero tolerance to people that go even an iota above the speed limit?
Yeah, I mean, I can see why people think this is completely bonkers, because it would have sounded totally bonkers to me. And I know it's unenforceable. I don't see how it could be enforced, but I think the central point is...
Well, how is it unenforceable?
One. Because there's not the resources to police this.
Oh, they can bang up lots of those speed cameras.
Well, they could. And you know what? I like driving my car. I like driving my car fast when I can. But I did get caught speeding, and I did do the speeding course. And as part of that, as people will know if they've done it themselves, there's a part of the course where you're asked, how much difference do you think it makes if you just go, you know, even 2 or 3 miles an hour over the speed limit in any given situation? And of course, me thinking I know so much, I thought, oh yeah, 2 or 3 miles an hour, that can't make much difference. So I put that in my answer. And then in the course, they proceeded to show with evidence, because, you know, you need evidence. They proceeded to show with evidence how that can actually make the difference between not killing someone if you hit them and killing them. And I mean, it was completely convincing. So from then on, that, you know, it's worked for me. It has changed my behaviour. And I think that's the central point that this guy is making, that, you know, even just 1 or 2 or 3 miles an hour, it can make a huge difference.
Alan?
It can make a huge difference in some circumstances. But the key issue is, what are we trying to do here? I have no doubt that the police intention is to try to minimise the number of people killed and seriously injured. But to try and do it by hitting motorists travelling at 30, 31, 32 miles per hour, when the people who are killing people in road traffic accidents are very often killing themselves, are travelling at vastly higher speeds. But the problem is dealing with those people who are the real problem, who cause the really serious accidents. That's more difficult, more expensive. And that's my concern. The second issue is, this is completely unenforceable. I had a quick look when I knew it was coming on the programme. Some of the police speed recording equipment only operates the plus or minus 1 mile per hour, so they couldn't enforce a 1 mile an hour limit anyway with the technology that they're currently using.
Well, they could enforce less than 10%, couldn't they?
Yes, they can enforce less than 10%.
Plus two. 10% plus two. Well, so a 30 mile an hour zone, that's 35 you could go up to without getting done. Isn't it?
Yes, but the question is, where are the accidents happening that are causing the deaths and injuries? And what are the resources being applied to that and that problem?
For example,
a lot of people, there's something like a million people in the UK, now have a black box fitted to their car by the insurers. And the data coming out of that has a very interesting. It shows the way in which some motorists, a small percentage of motorists, are speeding at very high speeds and driving very erratically and very dangerously. And the insurance companies are terminating the insurance of thousands of these people every year.
Can I just say, look, I know I'm going off on a tangent, and but it is related. Here we are talking about safety in the roads and speed, and I do want to come back to that in a second or two. But my experience over the last couple of days, I cannot believe how many potholes there are on the roads now. And that's another huge safety issue, is it not? That, you know, you've got cars swerving around them, you've got cars running across them. And so there are two things running parallel here today in this discussion. One, speed. We'll come back to your calls on that. But I also do want to ask you this morning, call us if there's a major pothole anywhere where you live. Send us an email of photographs if you live beside these things. Nolan@bbc.co.uk. There's an email in here from Richard who wrote to me, and he says, Stephen, I live in Cumber. I travel the A22 daily. Is it the A22 between Cumber and Belfast? Is that what I don't know the name of roads. Yes, this is the same road I'm driving along. I live in Cumber, travel the A22 daily to Dundonald where I work. The road's atrocious. Everyone's talking about how dangerous it's become. The road surface is covered in paint and damaging loose chippings. The verges have not been swept, just shored up with debris, causing the gullies to block. The road to flood even in the moderate rain. The surface of the road is a gauntlet of wheel-damaging potholes, and the footpath is barely passable. And that's the A22 between Cumber and Dundonald. I've driven over one of those potholes, and I thought the whole car was going down one. So two issues this morning, 0-30-30-80-55-55. Let's come back to speeding. Alan and Carrickfergus. Morning, Alan.
Morning, Stephen. Goodness me, where to start? First of all, on the potholes, there's potholes on every major road in the country.
It's crazy.
The two main reasons for it is whenever they do find a pothole, they're not repairing them properly. They're just patching them instead of trying to repair them. And whenever the utilities dig up the roads, they're being allowed to get away with not putting the road back in the condition they found it.
But I don't want this to sound like some type of trivial story. Somebody's going to get killed if they haven't already. Someone is going to get killed because of these holes in the road. It is barmy.
On to the speeding, Stephen. You were supposed to come back to this after you did that thing a few months ago. And Rosie Leach came on your programme. And I'm not surprised you haven't been back to it, because I don't think the PSNI want her on the radio again, because she let the cat out of the bag that day with the 10% plus 2 thing. And you got loads of people phoning in saying, excuse me, I was prosecuted underneath that threshold.
Well, you shouldn't presume anything. First of all, let me just stick up for Rosie a little bit. I've been talking to Rosie, interviewing Rosie, I think it's actually a couple of decades now, all right? Yeah. Way back in my radio days in City Beat. So she's a seasoned professional police officer, and let's not personalise this.
I'm not questioning her professionalism, I'm sure she is. But she did say some things that didn't stack up, and there's a story there, and you really need to get back to that. But this guy who's proposing this 1 mile an hour thing, he sounds like an absolute zealot. For a start, your speedometer in your car isn't that accurate. So what's going to happen when somebody's done 1 mile an hour over? They're going to say, well, my speedometer told me I was doing 30, but you're telling me I was doing 31.
Well, the next question, why aren't they accurate? In this day and age where things can be measured down to the last millimetre, are you telling me car manufacturers couldn't make them accurate?
I don't think the car manufacturers won't stand over 100% accuracy of all their speedometers. Of course they won't. They couldn't possibly do that.
Sound like a bit of an excuse, this, Fionnuala?
Yeah, I do think. I think people will make all sorts of excuses as to why they shouldn't be prosecuted, or why they shouldn't have to pay, or why they shouldn't have to do the course. I was the same when I got caught. I was outraged. I thought, oh, I was driving in a place where, you know, no, I wouldn't harm anyone, you know, what there was very, you know, a place where very few pedestrians would be around. And I think we'd all come up with all sorts of excuses. But, you know, you come to the bottom line, speed kills people, you know, and for, you can't forget that. And for all this guy saying the one mile an hour thing, yes, I think it is unenforceable, but I do think that there's a central point that we've got to stick with, is that if you just slow down a little bit, someone walks out in front of you, you're less likely to kill them.
Alan?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with Fionnuala. I've done the course as well, actually, Stephen. And the one thing I took out of the course, and I think it's what Fionnuala is referring to, is within the 30-mile-an-hour zone, the difference of a couple of miles an hour is absolutely huge.
Well, there you go.
I think that's where it is, and I agree with you. But the problem is there needs to be... The equipment isn't that accurate, and the speedometers aren't that accurate. So to start prosecuting people at 1 mile an hour, I think, is wrong. Now, I'm not saying they shouldn't be prosecuted at 3, 4, and 5 miles an hour. I'm not saying that at all. And the other side to this is our speed limits, especially on motorways, on our stopping distances, were all determined 50 years ago. And the technology has moved on, not just in speedometers, but yeah, in cars and in brakes and all sorts of things. So if we're going to impose speed limits rigorously, at least on certainly on the motorway, give people a realistic speed limit, and that isn't 70 miles an hour. It's probably close to 80 or 85.
Alan McQuillan, would you be concerned about the combination of the roads because of budgets? And look, we don't have a government, that's all well rehearsed. The combination of the roads not being as they should be,
yep,
and speed. Now, that's a lethal combination.
Absolutely. And let me confess here, the department paid me £700 last year for damage to my car caused by a pothole that hadn't been repaired for months and was almost 18 inches deep. So I completely wrecked a wheel on a pothole that appeared to be a puddle, and then the car disappeared into the puddle.
What's the process? So so if you drive over a... Because many of us will have done this, right? If you drive over a pothole, what's the process of getting money?
You go to the department's website, there's a claim form online, you fill in the claim form online, send in the evidence, and they assess it and then come back to you with an offer if they believe it's justified. It's actually systematised, there's actually a process online to allow you to claim. There's also a process online to allow you to report hazards on the road, and I would strongly encourage people to do that.
There's a process of what, sorry?
There's a process online where you can report hazards on the road. So if you see a pothole or you see a tree branch that's hanging through, though, you can go on a little map online, you can point to where the problem is and tell the department where the problem is.
I can tell you now, because I concur with this, Richard, who emailed us, there is an extraordinary pothole on the A22 between Cumber and Dundonald. Like you drive over it and it's hard to keep the wheel straight.
Well, Stephen, I would encourage you, go online now. There's a map there. You can point to where that is, tell them what it is, tell them how dangerous it is. It's logged up. They give you a reference number, and you can then phone them up or go back to them afterwards and ask them what they've done about it. But there is a system. They've got a system online. I have personally used it to report road hazards, and I've seen that it works.
And you got £700 last year.
Well, I got £700 last year because I completely wrecked an alloy wheel and the tire, and it was a pothole. There was actually a river running under the road. Now, I feel sorry for the department. They can't police every road. They can't fix every pothole.
Well, they spent £500,000 in compensation to motorists over the last 2 years.
Yes.
Between January 2016 and last November, 2,000 claims were accepted. 2,000 claims.
I'm sure they would say it might have cost them £20 million to fix all the faults and prevent.
Yeah, but as we've been saying this morning, this isn't just down to money, is it? This is actually down to safety, and someone's going to get killed. There's a third element I want to bring in this morning, by the way, and what we're going to do is over the next week or so, hopefully, if you're sending us information in on email and calling us, we will discuss these different elements of road safety. So one obviously is speeding, and this story about one of these police chiefs across the water saying, look, people should be done if they go over the speed limit, even if it's 1 mile per hour, story one. Two, we're talking about potholes. We're encouraging you to send in your pictures of them to give us a sense of what's happening around Northern Ireland. Story three, around road safety, that I want to talk about today. Do you know of places in Northern Ireland where, and this is from my personal experience, why I'm doing this morning, of where it is obvious that there is an acute need for traffic lights because the junction is so dangerous and yet it doesn't happen. And again, if you, do you know, someone no doubt will be able to help me with the name of the road, but if you go past, do you know, Alan and Fionnuala, if you go past, the Ice Bowl, whatever that road is, as if you're going to Cumber, right?
And you're turning right onto the Cumber Road.
And if you go down that hill, and you're then turning right exactly as you've said, Fionnuala, to go onto the Cumber Road, every single time, and I do that journey daily, coming home especially, every single time at that junction, there is, I don't want to exaggerate, but there's a blind spot.
Yeah,
there's a blind spot coming out, and I have seen many instances where cars have missed each other by seconds.
Yeah, you take your life in your hands there. Definitely, I've had the exact same experience.
I know it personally as well. It's a particularly dangerous junction because I think one of the roads you're either it's 40 miles an hour. Or you're coming just out of a 40-mile-an-hour limit, and vehicles are coming powering down into the Donald, and you're actually on a staggered crossroads.
So how come they haven't put traffic lights there? Like, everybody knows that's one... It's incredibly dangerous.
Well, the department work on the basis of going back to what they call the accident history of a site.
Wait until people get injured and then do something?
Yeah, that's it. We don't have any evidence. The standard reply always used to be, we don't have any evidence from that site that it's a serious problem. Because, of course, what happens there is they only count injury accidents. So 50 people could have their cars wrecked there, and the department don't count that. They count injury accidents, fatalities, and they prioritise the money towards those. Now, in a way, that makes sense. But it means that motorists may be picking up a bill for a bad junction that could be fixed by traffic lights.
Jim in Hillsborough. Morning, Jim. Morning to you. Stephen. Go ahead, Jim.
I'll tell you why I'm ringing you here. You see the roads that we live on here,
out
in the country? There's holes you could put 16 and 18 inches deep. And I'll tell you what the...
Have you reported them?
They come out and they put a wee yellow mark around them.
Yeah.
And away they go. Instead of sending two boys out or three boys in a lorry, dig the hole out, put the tarmac in, and away you go to the next one. The guy goes around and he puts the yellow marks on. 3 or 4 weeks' time, the yellow marks is wore off. They come back and they do the exact same thing again.
And are there bad holes at the minute around where you live?
Oh, desperate. We have 4 vehicles on the road here, by the way.
Would you take a picture of them?
Well, I wouldn't be good at that, but... taking pictures of them sort of things, but I could get you one sent in.
Would you do that?
Yep. I sent it into the BBC, but I'll tell you something. Now, you're talking about doing 1 mile. This policeman's talking about doing cut for speeding 1 mile an hour over the limit.
Yeah.
See these roads I live on? You couldn't hardly do 1 mile an hour. You'd fall into a hole and wreck your vehicle.
Yeah. This is serious.
We wrecked one of our trailers here about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I just went and got it fixed myself. And I never even bothered getting... they told me to get a claim form and everything else. I says the country's in debt enough without me trying to get more money off them. And I didn't bother my head. I got the trailer fixed myself. So there you are. That's what I done. Fixed it, got it fixed ourselves.
I should know this, but I wonder are the roads being repaired less this year? We know the grass verges aren't being done, Alan McQuillan. I wonder is there any... diminution of pothole fixing because of budgets. I have no idea. Well, we can find out, and we will find out, obviously. We'll ask the question.
All the budgets are being cut back, Stephen, so I'm sure they are.
We'll ask the question this morning. Tony in Belfast. Morning, Tony.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's the black boxes. The man was talking about black boxes earlier on, and that monitors people's driving, and it shows excessive speed and driving characteristics. So that's young drivers. That mainly applies to young drivers. And of course you're going to get that with young drivers. I mean, they pass their test and they're going to be driving too fast and they're not going to be driving right and adhering to the laws they should be. So that's where the black boxes comes in. So let's scrub them. You know what I mean? And it's a good system to have in place. The black boxes are great.
But why do you want to scrub them then?
They're great for young drivers. I'm saying scrub it in terms of he's trying to apply that there to, you know, seasoned drivers. Seasoned drivers on the whole, you know what I mean, might drive 1 mile an hour too fast over the limit. But that's not what's causing accidents. You know what I mean? It's people driving over excessively for the conditions in which they're driving. But you know what I mean? What I'm coming on here this morning is any time I'm out driving, and I would drive quite a bit, I see police cars going past me. I'm driving within the speed limit, probably within that 2 or 3 mile an hour window. You know what I mean? If it's a 30, I'm doing 33, 35. There's police cars coming past me at 35, 40. If I'm on the motorway, there's Land Rovers fully kitted out, colour Land Rovers. I'm doing 70, 75. They're going past me at 85. There's no incident. There's no blue lights on. There's no blues and twos. Everybody that's going to ring in here today, they're bound to have seen a police car. Who is going to police the police? They're meant to be setting an example. You're talking about road upkeep. You look at the lines. You look at the speed cameras. They have lines in the road. When you go over the lines in the road, that's the distance at which your car's measured, and then it flashes, and then you get a speeding ticket. But you look at the double yellow lines. See, in order for you to get a parking ticket to park on a double yellow line, it has to be a double yellow line. A continuous line. And see, if they're not maintained, you shouldn't be getting a ticket. That's law. So they don't maintain that, but they'll maintain the speed. They won't enforce the speeding on their own police officers who break the law continuously on a daily basis on a non-emergency situation.
Okay.
But every listener will be aware of it. They'll see police cars on a daily basis passing them.
Tony, thank you. Finola, how can we fix all of this? So we're talking about potholes, we're talking about speeding, we're talking about... It's actually one of those areas where we do kind of want to join up with the authorities, don't we?
And
make everything safer. So what can we do? So we know where these potholes are, or we can certainly help find them for the authorities. Have we any confidence that they'll do something about it?
Not a great deal. Obviously, you know, the whole place is in a mess. We all know that. I think potholes are like a sort of symbol, really, of the entire state of affairs here in Northern Ireland at the minute. But I suppose, you know, I was just thinking, hearing the others talking there, and we all think we're great drivers. I mean, no one ever says, oh, yeah, I'm a really bad driver.
I'm a really bad driver. Me.
All right, you. But lots of people think they're really great, and or at least perfectly competent and good, and you know, and feel totally justified in all their decisions, including if that means going over the speed limit. But I don't like rules. I don't like being constrained by rules. But in this case, I think there is a massive argument for personal responsibility. There really is, and there's no getting away from it. As for all the other stuff, well, you know, that's the lap of the gods.
Nicola Weir, when I was off, did a story on potholes, I think this was last week, and there was a statement come in from the Department of Infrastructure. And they said the department has in this financial year delivered a significant programme of resurfacing and surface dressing, and continues to carry out a programme of routine maintenance, including pothole repairs, to meet all essential public safety requirements. Well, all I would say back to the department about that statement is, how come this programme is bombarded this morning with people telling us where there are extremely dangerous potholes? How come? 0-30-30-80-55-55. And back to speed. Keith and Fermanagh. Morning, Keith.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, I was on a speed awareness course. I was 34 mile an hour, opted for the speed awareness course. But an observation I made whenever I was on the speed awareness course, there was 12 people in attendance. And out of those 12, there was about 4 that was ordinary car drivers that had been caught in over the speed limit. The rest of them were commercial drivers, lorry drivers, delivery drivers, etc. And what I'd like to know is, Alan McQuillan,
yeah.
Yep. I'd like to know what his response is to the pressure that's been put on delivery drivers by employers to meet targets. And it's employers who are guilty of putting pressure on drivers to meet targets. And if they don't meet targets, I'm lucky enough I drive for a company who doesn't put that pressure on me. But I noted at the course that I was on that there was a considerable amount of drivers who were under pressure every day to meet targets by their employer, and if they didn't, they were disciplined. So it's the employers that's actually guilty of putting pressure on drivers to meet targets and encouraging them to speed.
I agree completely with that, Stephen, and indeed the other issues drivers are, because the competition in the industry is so cutthroat, and you know tenders are pushed down to such a low level that these people are forced to break the law of their daily work.
Stephen, thank you. Ian and Ballymena, morning, Ian.
Good morning. I was saying to your call handler there that just around Christmas time, opposite the stone, that there was a pothole appeared just at the entrance to Bershane Street, at the junction of like Bershane Street and Granville Drive. The pothole was so deep that somebody, quite rightly so, placed one of them red and white bollards or cones into it.
Yeah. Into it.
To let everybody know it was there. And it was duly repaired. I drove over it there this morning before I phoned you, and would you believe it? The tarmac is starting to come back out of the pothole. Already?
Within a month?
Within a month.
Oh, for goodness sake.
And
how does that happen?
I think that the answer is that the stuff that they use to repair them is called cold tar. And it comes in a plastic bag. And I watched one day outside my own house. There's a pothole, and the workmen pulled up in a wee truck. One man hopped out, and with one hand, he just pulled this plastic bag from the back of the lorry onto the ground. The bag was split open, and with his feet, he worked some of the tar out of the bag and into the hole. He then proceeded to do what I would call like a wee war dance with the two feet on the top of the tar to, I suppose, embed it into the hole. He's done that for about maybe 30 seconds.
My goodness.
Hopped into the lorry and away they went. I've since reported there just because that same pothole is now empty.
Well, I do think this is a public service that we I'm not sure I'm on the Christmas card list of many government departments, but we could actually do a service here in that send in your pictures. Send in all of your pictures with the locations of these potholes. We'll go out and we'll look at some of them ourselves. We'll get Nicola to go out and investigate some of these. Nicola, we are our reporter. And we will also pass the pictures of all of these potholes onto the department. Ian, thank you. Thomas and Yuri. Morning, Thomas.
Hello, Stephen. How are you?
Morning. Go ahead.
Well, I live here in the south of Armagh, across Midland, Cullyhanna area, shocking the roads. There hasn't been nothing done to the road I live on here for years and years. And I have to cut the grass every summer at the corners for...
Yeah.
It's awful dangerous for cars meeting and the road's narrow. But there's pictures here in this examiner paper here from Cross Midland here this week about potholes and roads on it. There's literally pages of them.
Crazy.
Yes,
I bet you're not getting any money off your road tax either.
Not a penny, and I'd love to know what they're doing at the authorities with all the road taxes coming in and all the big rates that's coming in on houses.
Yeah.
I'd love to know on all the tax that's